Mr. Nkashe,
leadership.
Nega Emren.
Morena kar tsere poso.
Eh no, are tsware Emren.
Nna re tsware re la lo malile.
Eh.
Are bambare bambe.
No, tla tsa jwa Emren.
Mara mso kha batla ba khathetse ba tlo cancel, ba tlo postpone.
Ne re tla fetsa
if bana le energy, but I don't see it happening.
Mara nna ke batla re fetse so that process ya rona e fete re kgone go ya le ka mo NCOP wa bona.
Re kgone go push. Let's cross our fingers.
Okay. Are
tsoma.
Are ya re bambe.
So leadership.
So Nkashe and Master Shuping are there?
Yes.
Yes, DJ.
Yes, DJ.
Okay, guys. So, well, let me know.
Okay, we'll start. Yes.
Yes.
I hope they do cancel.
Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Vocês vão renovar a concessão em 2022. Não vou persegui-los. Mas o processo vai estar limpo. Se não estiver limpo, legal, não tem renovação da concessão de vocês e de TV nenhuma. Vocês apostaram em me derrubar no primeiro ano, não conseguiram. Estão fazendo uma viagem, sacrifício, 10 dias da família, ralando o dia todo. Estamos recuperando a confiança no mundo de vocês, TV Globo. O tempo todo servido na minha vida, porra!
Be my best friend. I'm very much for you. Als ik jou nou wat dank zeg, ik mag een oro als mijn meisje maakt zo crisp in mijn bokkie. Zij, als jij niet van mij niet aan een oren zei, zeg maar zeg als een oude vrouw na. Als ik jou nou wat dank zeg, ik mag een oro als mijn meisje maakt zo crisp in mijn bokkie. Als ik jou nou wat dank zeg, ik mag een oro als mijn meisje maakt zo crisp in mijn bokkie.
Kwenzela ntoni apha Sherin? Sherin.
I'm here.
What is happening here?
We don't have a quorum yet.
We're struggling to
log in.
We are tired. Where is the chairperson? Sherin.
Ha Debe. Becky.
Kona mina apha akho ha Debe apha whip. Whip.
Becky?
Tikeledi?
Becky?
Tikeledi?
I'm here.
Hello?
Becky?
Kona mina apha. Ukatebu sambile. Use umpimpa.
Ngilapha ndikhona.
Hayi wena.
Everybody?
Are we going to start the meeting at 7:30?
Evening, everybody.
Nangu Sherin ekhuluma. Evening, Sherin.
Evening, Sherin.
Good evening, all. The chairperson sent in an apology. She's attending a funeral. So we'll have to elect an acting chairperson as per Rule 159 of the National Assembly.
So indeed, big, obvious. Ambuga, hey, Tandy Kun. Peggy.
Let's give it to Peggy.
Because he will faint if we don't give him. I said Peggy.
You nominate Peggy.
Nominated Mr. Peggy. Be a seconder.
Direko.
Thank you. Any other nominations?
I move to close the station.
In the absence of any other nominations, Mr. Hadebe has been duly elected as the acting chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Portfolio Committee Secretary, and thank you so much, Honorable Members. The time is now 28 minutes past 7. Sharon, can you assist the committee with apologies? You've already mentioned one, that of the Chair, Honorable Mutambi. Are there any other apologies that must be recorded and registered? And also give us an indication whether or not the meeting is duly constituted.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was apologies from the Minister, as well as Deputy Minister Tao and Deputy Minister Bapela. And yes, the meeting is correct, so we can go ahead.
So from the executive authority, both deputy ministers and the minister are not present. From the department side, do we have representatives from the department?
Good evening. Yes, we do have representation from the department. It's the DG speaking, and I'm accompanied by my team. Thank you.
Thank you so much, DG. Welcome to you and your entire collective. And good evening, honorable members. We have one item before us tonight, which will be the briefing by the Department of Cooperative Governance and also the motivation on Section 56, that of ensuring that managers directly accountable to the municipal manager become permanent. Then that will follow by discussion in relation to what the department will be presenting for us, and we'll have to go clause by clause, including the proposal that we'll deal with. So can I take this opportunity and hand over to the department? Sharon, in terms of state attorneys, who's present? Legal advice, it's very tricky for us given the fact that even the chair is not present and we're dealing with a very sensitive matter. It requires experience and ensuring that we dot all the I's and cross all the T's. So we'll require assistance, especially when we deal with clause by clause. It would have been ideal if this meeting was presided over by the chair given the experience. So we'll really need guidance in moving forward. Hence, I'm asking the parliamentary advisors and state law whether or not they are part of this meeting. Can I just get that indication?
Yes, Chairperson, both the parliamentary law advisor and the state law advisor is present in the meeting.
All right then. So colleagues, given the time, can we then proceed with our first item?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think without any wasting of time, I would like us to go straight into discussion and we would ask then Mr. Matla Shuping to please present on behalf of the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Who will be presenting?
Matla Shuping.
Sorry, Chairperson, it's Tebogo Matla Shuping. Thank you, Chair.
And the designation?
He's our Chief Director responsible for human resources management within the department.
All right. Thank you so much. Over to you, Say.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will make a presentation on the motivation for the department's position in relation to the employment of managers accountable to municipal managers. I will skip the table of contents and move straight to the purpose. The purpose being to present on the motivation of the repeal of Section 7, subsection 7 of the Principal Act as it's in current form, to also present the motivation for us to support the appointment of managers accountable to municipal managers on a permanent basis. The next slide will be the background in relation to what the situation is in relation to the Municipal Systems Act. Our Systems Act at present provides for the two-tier senior management structure. That is that of the senior management that comprises of the municipal manager and then managers accountable to municipal managers. And it also deals with the appointment of municipal managers and managers directly accountable to municipal managers. When we look at Section 36 of the Principal Act. It reads as follows, that the Municipal Council, after consultation with the Municipal Manager, appoints a manager directly accountable to Municipal Managers. Now, this particular clause relates to how it is at the time when the Municipal Systems Act was promulgated in 2000. So when a Municipal Council appoints a senior manager who is accountable to a Municipal Manager, this will be done after consultation with the Municipal Manager. The next slide, please. The next slide, please, Sharon. I must indicate that the rider to the appointment of a senior manager is that a person who is appointed as a manager must have the requisite skill and expertise to perform the duties of the associated post, meaning that any other person who is appointed as a senior manager, be it a municipal manager or a manager accountable to a municipal manager, must have the requisite skills, expertise to perform such a particular position. Section 57.6 of the Principal Act as it is, and also with its amendment in 2008, indicate that a municipal manager must be appointed for a period of maximum of 5 years and not exceeding a period ending 1 year after the election of the next council of the municipality. I have indicated this to the portfolio committee when we met, when the portfolio committee had a strategic session, that initially it was for a period not exceeding 2 years, but in 2008 it was then amended to read that it should not be for a period not more than 1 year after the election of the next municipal council. It also includes the provision of a cancellation of the contract, and in the case of non-compliance with the employment contract where applicable, of the performance agreement. It also stipulates the renewal contract. Now, this is where, when we look at the original Municipal Systems Act that deals with the renewal of employment contract vis-a-vis what we are proposing after we have received proposals from all relevant stakeholders, including provinces, that this renewal contract, the renewal clause in the Act itself creates a problem once a five-year term of a municipal manager comes to an end. Section 57.7 of the Act as it stands now stipulates that a municipal council may extend the application of subsection 6 to any manager accountable to the municipal manager, meaning that in as far as there is an extension clause for a municipal manager once the contract has come to an end mutually by the senior manager and the council, that can also be extended to a manager accountable to a municipal manager. However, there are challenges that related to this particular renewal clause, and we will see when we go clause by clause of the proposed bill that we are indicating that that particular renewal clause should be removed so that all vacant positions in a municipality, especially when it relates to senior managers, must be advertised, and the normal recruitment process should then continue without necessarily getting into the renewal of the existing contract of a municipal manager. Now we are going to the next slide that deals with the challenges that led to us proposing that managers accountable to senior managers must be appointed on a full-time basis. One is that as meta stands in relation to the fixed-term contract of managers accountable to a municipal manager, this particular regime breeds high turnover. It causes brain damage on an unprecedented scale, because after each and every 5 years, all senior managers, including municipal managers, will then be removed after any local government elections. And that breeds the new breed of other senior managers who have not been involved in the running of a municipality. And that creates a very serious problem in terms of brain drainage in a municipal space. It undermines the succession planning and investment in an ongoing leadership development programs, because in relation to capacity building, municipalities are investing a lot of money in capacitating senior managers accountable to municipal managers. And it once after elections, after each and every 5 years, once the term of contract of managers accountable to senior managers, then there is that issue of new a crop of senior managers getting into the system, and that particular investment comes to nil. It also does not support the development of new managers, because in our understanding that the crop of senior managers on an ongoing basis will create a basket of developed and also capable managers who can even still be considered for continuation and also for them to be elevated to a position of municipal manager. So this particular thing undermines that particular process of making sure that the crop of developed senior managers are retained in municipalities. It discourages continuity and retention of institutional memory in municipalities because of the exodus of senior managers after a period of 5 years. It causes institutional instability in municipalities because of the fact that I've already mentioned that new managers accountable to senior managers, when they come into the fore, we then have to again start the process of bringing stability and also capacitating them further. It is highly vulnerable to abuse in unstable municipalities, wherein there is interference from a political level of municipal councils, and all municipal senior managers who are not favorites to the existing political structures of municipalities will then be removed en masse. And that creates a lull in order for us to see to it that there is that continuation in municipality. It also has a negative impact on planning and implementation and invariably leads to poor performance and service delivery by municipalities because of this influx of new managers accountable to senior managers. It deprives municipalities of formal handover process as councillors and municipal managers vacate offices en masse at the end of tenure of office of councils. I've already stated it above that there is no proper handover once a new council comes into being, because all councillors in most instances, as we have seen, that about 60 to 70% of councillors will then be exiting the sector, and new councillors will be coming to the fore after the local government elections. That concomitant to that will also be the vacation of municipal managers and senior managers who will then be leaving the municipality, and new managers will then be expected to give administrative direction to councillors who are coming to the fore, who are also new in the system. So that creates some sort of instability for councils to proceed unhindered. The next slide will deal with what we think the appointment of managers accountable to senior managers will do if they're appointed on a permanent basis. We say it will help stem the high turnover of managers directly accountable to municipal managers and also deal with the brain drainage that will be acquired once the term of council has come to an end. It appreciates the succession planning and investment in an ongoing leadership development programs. It supports the development of new managers within the pool of managers in municipalities. It encourages continuity and retention of institutional memory in municipalities. It builds the much-wanted institutional stability in municipalities. It is less vulnerable to abuse because in instances where senior managers are not performing as according to the expected standard, there are processes within the municipal HR systems that will deal with poor performance, that will deal with instances where there are transgression in relation to policies of council. It also improves it allows for a formal handover processes, as I've already indicated, that it will then allow senior managers who will be in the system after the exit of municipal managers. This crop of managers will then navigate in making sure that there is seamless interaction between the outgoing and the ingoing crop of councillors, and it creates stability in relation to information flow after local government elections. We are recommending, therefore, that the portfolio committee note and consider the submission to repeal the universal requirement of fixed-term contract and to replace it with the permanent appointment of managers directly accountable to municipal managers in the core business of municipalities. I must indicate before I close that also in relation to what we are busy with, the notion of single public service, that the discussion that the Department of Cooperative Governance is having with the Department of Public Administration Service in relation to having the upward mobility of officials in where capacity is needed between the three spheres. It will also go in line with what we have in the public service, where the DG is on a fixed-term contract and the DDGs are on a permanent basis. It will also allow that particular seamless movement of senior managers in instances where there is a need for capacity building in other spheres of government. So we are advocating for this to be in line with what we're having in the public service at the moment. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members, and also DG.
Thank you so much, colleagues. It's worth noting that this matter, we have dealt with it at length, I think on two previous occasions, but I think there were some outstanding issues and documentation that needed to be forwarded to us. So this matter that we're dealing with, it's not a new item. It has been dealt with twice, if my memory serves me well. I would like to also welcome Salga, and my apologies for not recognizing you at the beginning of our meeting. I see on our participant list there is Lance. Any delegation from Salga, we give over to Salga before honorable members can engage on this matter. If there are any issues or matters of emphasis that Salga want to put forward before we engage as honorable members. Now's the time.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also greetings to yourself and members, honorable members of the committee, DG and colleagues. I think we had made a fairly comprehensive submission, Chair, in previous interactions. We are quite comfortable with what we have presented, as well as the response that we have received from COPT. So there are no additional inputs from our side, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Salga. Colleagues, just to put it on record for those that are with us, in terms of what I see in front of me, we have 8 or 9 honorable members. It's Honorable Brink, Honorable Direko, Honorable Opperman, Honorable Hussein, Honorable Mkalipi, Honorable Keza, Honorable Grunewald, and Honorable Hatebe. I also see B. Luthuli at parliament.gov.za. Is that you, Luthuli? Okay, now you just have to rename your gadget properly next time. So we have 9 members present, colleagues. Can we then take this opportunity for any clarity-seeking question, any input, proposals, and rejection, if there are any? The floor is yours for discussion. Can I see by show of hands who wants to go first?
Chair, it's Brink.
Honorable Brink, you'll be the first one. Any other members?
Luthuli.
Baba Nkosi Luthuli, you'll be the second one. Are we only having 2 speakers?
Direko.
Honorable Direko, you will be the third and the last speaker on the matter. Honorable Mkalipi, were you still consulting?
Yes, Chair.
No problem. And then Honorable Mkalipi. Can we then proceed in that order? Honorable Brink, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I am not going to put my video on, and I ask your indulgence in that.
No problem. Proceed, Honorable Member.
So 2 very important assurances were given at the previous meeting. The first one was that making Section 56 appointments permanent will not have adverse financial implications on municipal coffers. There was quite some discussion about that, but in essence, these officials have their remuneration levels determined by ministerial regulation, not by collective agreement. And the second assurance that was given was that none of the current Section 56 managers who are serving fixed-term contracts will have those contracts converted and automatically become permanent. The posts will need to serve, or the incumbents will need to serve the balance of their contracts, and the posts have to be advertised. Chair, there's been a lot of discussion in public sector management circles about permanent versus fixed-term contracts, and I think this has been debated in South Africa as well. The problem or the benefit of a fixed-term contract in theory is that it's easier to get rid of non-performing individuals who earn a lot of money, as opposed to people who are at the lower rungs of an organization. But given that the Systems Act and regulations in any event prescribe a whole lot of steps that have to be taken, such as, you know, really detailed regulations when it comes to removing or suspending a senior manager, as well as performance management, that does not make it easy to contractually make the employment position of a senior manager flexible. So a lot of that benefit in theory is negated by the fact that it's in any event a highly regulated position, and a contract can't trump what the law prescribes. So weighing that with the disadvantages of fixed-term contracts, in that there's a high turnover every 5 years, as the chief director has said, and the fact that that undermines the creation, the establishment of a professional ethic within the municipal service, I think on balance it's good that senior managers be appointed permanently, and that we retain the fixed-term contracts of municipal managers. So we will be in support of that. I don't like this talk of one public service, because it sounds to me like something that would undermine democratically elected, separately elected and accountable spheres of government. But I do understand that the point that is being made in terms of municipalities having to attract and retain the same kind of skills that we see in the rest of the public service. So with that qualification, I think we will support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Brink. The next speaker is Ubabulu Thuli.
Thank you, Chair. Sometimes I must say we agree about that situation which Honorable Brink is talking about. But still, to me, it makes no difference, because if the municipality manager will be in charge to those people who already been in the field for a long time, then that it will make a chaos. Secondly, what my question is that how come the municipality themselves, let's say the councillors, to hire a person who haven't got a skill for that particular post? Because I think by myself that it makes no difference to choose only one person by saying that he will be in contract. The others are below them, they are going to be permanent. How come those people will be hired if they are going to stay there, because the government is saying it's a lot of money to teach them why they are going to hire somebody who's not having any skills out of that. That's my argument and out of that, because I don't, to myself alone, really, I don't understand really what is the cause, what's the difference between the municipality managers and then the municipality manager, which is the senior manager. I think those people are supposed to be hired the same as the municipality manager, or senior manager is, according to my own opinion. Thank you, Chef.
Bonga Baba Nkosi Oluthuli. Our next speaker is Honorable Direko.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, when the department was presenting here, one then ask herself if the people who have come up with this proposal, have they been to the local government? Have they spent some time there to understand the environment that the local government is operating under? You know, the problem with the department is that when they fail to perform their duties, they want to come up with a plan B. And in most cases...
My apology, Honorable Direko. Are you also struggling with network? That's the reason
yes.
why... Your face?
Yes, Chair.
No, it's okay, Honorable Direko. We have not seen you for quite some time, but proceed.
Yes, Chair. I was saying the problem with the department is that when they fail to perform their duties, they usually come up with a plan B. And in most cases, this plan B that they are coming with does not provide solution. Instead, they're creating more problems than we are having currently. They spoke about the handover report. Yes, they will not have a proper handover report because there's a lack of good governance. There's no systems in place. There's no accountability. Poor performance is caused by these things that I've mentioned. But if there were proper systems in place whereby people are accountable and they do what they are expected to do, you will not complain about poor performance, whether the person is permanent or in fixed contract. What is needed here is to ensure that there's a proper system in place and people are performing what is expected from them. That is why in the municipality we have performance agreement. If performance agreement is monitored every year or every month, you will not have a problem to say there's a poor performance, because everyone will know that as much as they're getting their monthly salary, they must also deliver on what is expected from them. And we must also remember that municipality is an institution, not someone else's inheritance. So it doesn't make sense that you will have managers who are permanent while the MM is on fixed contract. Because on that thing, you are promoting challenges in the municipality. Fortunately, I'm from the municipality. One of the challenges that we are having in the municipality is insubordination, whereby those who are permanent will just say, whether I do this or not, I don't care. Because these ones, the directors and the managers, they will come and go while Tina will remain in the municipality. So if now you are also going to do the same with the directors, it means only the municipal manager, the accounting officer will be the only one, or the CFO will be the only ones who are on contract while others are permanent. Insubordination will also be the order of the day in the municipality. So you must also have a look at that to say, are we really assisting the municipality, or are we killing a dog that is already in an ICU? And I also want to check, is your DDG in the department permanent? If so, do you see any improvement in your own department? Can you point out to say, so since we have implemented this strategy, these are the achievements that you are having. If not, what do you think it will make a difference by making them permanent? Thank you, but I don't agree with this proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Direko. And our last speaker on this item will be Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Please allow me to switch off my video as well because of connection.
No problem. We've seen a lot of you.
Chair.
Afternoon. Yes, we've seen a lot
Chairperson.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's okay, Honorable Mukhaji, yeah. Proceed.
All right. No, Chair, look, this is a very complex matter. The department is saying that in their presentation, they are recommending that the portfolio committee must consider submission to repeal the universal requirement for a fixed term contract. And I agree with Honorable Brink when he said that Section 198B of the Labor Relations Act A is a talk of town in South Africa. And most of the time when the employees took employers to court to challenge this section of the LRA, there are different interpretations of this section. For the mere fact that judges, they don't have also a clear direction on how to resolve on Section 198 and temporal workers. So therefore, in principle, the department is correct in a broader framework. But as Honorable Direko is saying, that the department must consult. I hope, I was so disturbed when Salga said that they don't have anything to present in terms of this particular recommendation from the department, because it needs most brains to put it together to find solution around this issue. Having said that, Chairperson, I just want to also said that I remember this issue as you alluded from the beginning, Chair, when you started the meeting, to say that this meeting was supposed to take place, I think, 2 weeks ago. And we have also asked the legal office from Parliament also to come and advise the portfolio committee in this regard, because it's very difficult. And I remember when I was going through the documents from the legal officer, telling us that our previous committee members, even in Limpopo, there was also a case from Limpopo whereby this issue is not the first time that it's been canvassed, maybe in a different platform. But to come to a decision is very difficult, because we have to consider many things. As Honorable Direko is saying, that things are not the same. It can be different from the national or at a provincial level. And when it comes to municipality, it's something that is different. And you'll know, Chairperson, that our position as the EFF is that we don't want any person to be exploited by the middlemen. And you want our people to get permanent job, because as the department also alluding to their presentation to say it demoralizes workers. But at the same time, there are challenges. When an MM is on contract, and when an MM starts his or her job, and you will find a person who have an experience, the Honorable Director is saying there's a lot of insubordination that will take place. So those are the things that need to be considered. And the department, unfortunately, they are not expanding on those experience, because it's them who have experiencing this thing on daily basis, not us. Us as the portfolio committees, we come here and resolve whatever issues that is in front of us. But the department is dealing with employees of municipalities, of departments on daily basis. It's them who must come and tell us, like that legal document who was giving us many options to say this, to say that this matter is very complex. So I'm saying that, Chair, I was also just an experience. I was there is an issue in one of the hospitals in Durban. And we went to Durban and engaged with the CEO of the hospital around the issue of employers vis-a-vis employees when there is a clash in the hospital. And when we engaged with the CEO of the hospital, and he's saying, no, we know what is the position of the EFF in the matter when it relates to employees. And do you know that I have a headache as the CEO of this hospital whereby I can't get rid of a person who is incapacitated now, a cleaner who is on crashes, but I can't just get rid of her to say that now you can't perform what you have been hired for, because she's permanent. Whether she does not have a capacity to perform a duty, but she is also protected by the Labor Relations Act of South Africa since she's permanent. The Labor Relations Act is saying clearly you must find an alternate for the employee who can't perform his or her duty. You can't just say dismiss her. So I'm saying if the department want us to change this section, which is section 57, to make those people directors and managers to be permanent, I mean, are they ready to resolve such issues when they come to the fore at a municipal level, whereby Honorable Direko is saying very clearly, how are you going? You are not telling us, how are you prepared? I think all of us here, we can be happy to say, let us amend this action, because we look this thing in one side, because our people will be very happy, they will get benefits, they will have no headache, but it does not end there. As Honorable Direko is saying, it does not end there. You'll have another issues when a person is permanent, does not perform his job. So I will think that, Chair, without going to town about this thing, is the department have also consulted also other spheres and other sections like the public service department on these issues, just to get an experience. If, let's say, the portfolio committee said, no, well and good, let us agree with you, department, and then are you not going to come back to say, hey, it seems as if we took a very wrong decision here? Have you made sure that you consulted with different people with experience, and are you sure about this amendment? That is my clarity from the department. And also, just to get a clarity from SALGA, what is the reason? Because at some point it also helps COO of SALGA when you also give another perspective to such issues. As a portfolio committee, at least we can compare. The department is saying and the SALGA is saying, so therefore the meek delay that we must take as the portfolio committee is this one. So if you just silent on this matter, of which it's also going to affect you as SALGA, what does that mean? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Karibi. Perhaps you would recall that initially when we were dealing with issues of stakeholder input, this matter was initially brought by SALGA. It was SALGA's proposal, if my memory serves me well. And I understood Lance to be saying, since they have previously dealt with this at length, at this current juncture, they don't have anything more to add. Suffice to say what they've initially proposed, which is now subsequently agreed upon by the department. I'm not saying I'm speaking on behalf of SALGA. I was just thinking based on our previous engagement. But I'll give to SALGA to have a bite and respond accordingly.
Chair, it is Hussein. Yeah, before you do that, may I please make a comment?
All right, Honorable Hussein. Proceed, member.
Chair, I'm glad you raised that matter, because now I want to support the points that you made just now, because I do recall on our previous occasion when we discussed this particular matter, there was broad support from across the all the members in the portfolio at the time, if I recall. So I'm a little confused now whether there is a change in direction on it, which is why this matter has come back to us now for finalization, unless we need to deliberate on the thing even further. But you're right that SALGA has presented their views on it, and I think that we all took the position that those amendments were important for us to be able to change and turn around some of the situations in many municipalities across the country. And this is what we needed. So I don't know, perhaps maybe I'm making this comment just to remind members of where we stood on the matter previously. But that's all that I want to say, just to help maybe just jog the memory of some of our colleagues.
Thank you, Honorable Hussein. And I think Nkosi Uluthuli is the one member who has constantly maintained his views in this regard, as he is still doing the same tonight. But I will give to SALGA and the department to respond to questions raised by honorable members. As the colleagues were engaging, something just also crossed my mind in relation to points and arguments that were advanced. And I would also like to put some of the issues. The intention is not to further confuse or dilute what previously was discussed. Section 151 of the Constitution is very explicit and clear that the legislative and executive authority of any municipality is vested upon its municipal council. And if that's the case of municipal council having executive and legislative authority as enshrined in the Constitution, and also understanding that, well, from where I come from in the city of Cape Town, this level of Section 56 that we're talking about, they are called executive directors. And from time to time, the school of thought that I'm coming from, when I dealt with strategic management and strategic planning and processes and organizational structure, I was taught that structure always follows the strategy, meaning you first have the strategy and then the structure that will suit your strategy. And in the city of Cape Town, we have every after 5 years, we adopt new IDP, and all other municipalities, they do the same. But in that IDP, you will have instances where an executive director that was responsible for transport, in the next 5 years, that position will change. It will no longer become executive director of transport. It will become urban planning and transport, meaning it will incorporate extra additional expertise that will require not only a person who is qualified experience in transport, but also who has broader expertise in urban planning and urban management. So from time to time, whoever comes into power within that particular 5 years in a form of municipal council, they bring with them the different strategy, and they would want to have a structure that will suit such a strategy. So the question that I would like to get clarity on and assistance in terms of the relationship between the structure and the strategy and the challenges that comes with when a new strategy is implemented, when we have full-time and permanent executive directors with certain skills that they were employed for. Casing point what I just said, that initially you would have an executive director of transport. The new council came in and implemented their own strategy where they needed, over and above expertise in transport, they needed someone that also deals with urban management and urban planning. I would like to get an understanding in that regard. Also, whether or not we won't be impeding on the Section 151 of the Constitution, where the executive and legislative authority of municipalities is vested within its council, when they will have to be forced to absorb executive directors who were previously appointed by a council whose term is only for 5 years. Thank you. The intention is to get clarity and clarify some of these questions. I'm not intending at all to confuse colleagues and the department further, given that we have dealt with this matter previously. I will start with Salga, and then the department will follow. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Jefferson, and also once again greetings to members and colleagues. We had been to this committee before, Chair, and we had made substantial proposals based on practical experiences, particularly since the 2011 Amendment Act was promulgated. We had spoken extensively around what we have picked up as the continued challenges that our members are facing. The one thing I thought, Chair, if you would allow me to reflect on, so that we can see this within the context of how it unfolds. And it's not the same. I would agree with a comment made by Honorable Turek. It is not the same experience at a local level as that at national and provincial level. And let me indicate to you why that is so, Chair, and give you a practical example. I think the committee will benefit from practical examples. And there are many examples, both for and against an argument. But one reality we can't walk away from is the fact that every five years we have local government elections, and as a consequence, we have change in individuals being elected. And if you look at the last two elections, there have been big turnovers in the election of municipal councillors. So what you essentially see is this five-year political leadership change across municipalities. And when you look at the legislative framework, every single new council appointed has the legislative authority to define what it wants to do in that five-year term. And that's why you have the IDP in a municipality. So it's a five-year outlook, and we review it on an annual basis. And what you would find in practice also, because the legislation allows, is that once that plan has been approved, you must also have a conversation around whether your administration is appropriately structured to execute that particular plan. So you would also find in many municipalities, there is also structural change that happens in the administration to align it to execute that five-year strategy of the council. And therefore, you would also see ordinarily change in the administration itself. So that's the reality that we are faced with at the local government level. When you look at the actual experience of municipalities implementing that legislative authority, they differ. You have seen since the 2011 amendment, certainly municipalities electing to appoint your senior managers on a contract basis. You have seen municipalities electing to appoint officials on a permanent basis, senior managers on a permanent basis. You have seen municipalities where they do contract. They are taking a longer outlook, and I know it's widespread in the Western Cape itself that the majority of the senior managers are on a 10-year contract. So it's not limited to a five-year term of office. It is extended over a longer period. But the point is that there is a discretion given to the council to make that appointment on a basis that it deems fit, but within the framework so provided. You have municipalities that, and as a particular example I can draw on, Chair, we may have mentioned in the last conversation, you have a municipality in the Eastern Cape that has over the last 5 odd years received clean audits, and the person who has been at the helm of that municipality administratively as the accounting officer, the municipal manager, has been there for the last 20 years. In fact, next year, he will be in that municipality for 20 years. So you have an experience of a person leading the institution, and you can see there's been improvement over time. But you've also seen in municipalities where a person arrived 2 years ago, found the institution with a clean audit, and continued on that path. So there's change at the management level, and you can still see a sustained improvement in that municipality. So a shorter space of time, but we still see clean audits if we would want to put clean audits as a standard for high performance. And then you have a person that arrived 2 years ago, municipality was experiencing challenges, and 2 years later, currently, that municipality continues to have challenges. So the experiences, I'm trying to make the point here, is that the experiences differ. The question we must ask ourselves, certainly we have asked ourselves that question as SALC, is because the experiences differ, can we have a one-size-fits-all? Can we take an approach that says, no, let's do it for everyone, but experience indicates to us that maybe we should not do that. So that's the question we should ask ourselves, is that should we legislate it that everyone must be permanent at a senior management level, with the exception of the municipal manager, or do we say, why don't we sustain the current practice because of the differing experiences and allow the municipal council that discretion to make that appointment, but ensure that that discretion itself does not introduce uncertainty over a defined period. So we could, for instance, as a minimum, retain a minimum five-year contract, but we could say a municipality could explore a longer-term contract, but it's within its discretion. And certainly, as you have correctly pointed out, Chair, the authority is already given to a municipality to manage its affairs as it deems fit in executing its mandate. So for me, the middle ground would have been to say we are moving towards professionalizing the sector. The challenges that we are experiencing differ. It may be in our best interest at this point in time to continue allowing the discretion. And then we look at the process over a defined period going forward on how we would reassess and say, are we moving towards a 100% professionalism within the local government space? And as a consequence, should we not be saying everyone must be permanent within the institution? But practice are showing us, certainly as SALCA, that we are not there yet. We would love to be there, but we are not there yet. And we fear, Chair, that what you find happening in municipalities, and I'm sure colleagues in the department would be able to confirm this. We have people who are in municipalities. When the municipal manager arrives, they also say, well, this is your senior management team. You find us here. You will probably leave us here as well. And people who, because of the nature of the employment, they have a sense of entitlement. And as a consequence of that sense of entitlement, they would also hold the view that we will make you or break you as a senior management team. And by the way, we have a longer term contract than yourself. So I'm giving you a flip side of what the realities are. It's not an easy matter, Chairperson, by no means. What we have asked for as SALCA, we want certainty on whether a municipality has that discretion or not. That's a certainty we want. And certainly we would want to advance based on the current realities that if we are agreeing that that discretion for now is probably the appropriate thing to do, I think we should allow it to remain a discretion to the council on what basis it would want to appoint its senior managers. My apologies, Chair, if I took too long. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Lance. At times, giving a detailed information does assist. Colleagues, before I give to the department, it does appear, based on what four honorable members alluded to, that majority of the members, not taking into account, forgetting, of course, what was previously discussed in our previous meetings, but as things stand, it does appear that majority of members are not in support of what is currently proposed and presented by the department. SALCA has also echoed the same sentiment. It is ideal for us to get there, but as things stand, it appears as if we're not there yet. I would like to get a sense, especially on what I've raised, honorable members and the department, in terms of the executive and legislative authority. I remember at some point in the city of Cape Town, there was the case of the municipal manager when the then council, when their term was about to end, they renewed the contract of the municipal manager for further 5 years, and that matter was taken to court, and court reversed that decision because of what I raised, the executive and legislative authority being vested on the municipal council. But let me hand over to the department. Hopefully they will respond to all the issues raised, and also take a bite into what was also highlighted by Salga. Over to you, DG. You will direct us who will respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We'll ask Mr. Motlashupeng to respond, and I will then come in when needed. Thank you.
Thanks, DG and honorable members of Parliament. Allow me to first deal with the general comments before I come to specifics in relation to the presentation that we made. I must, from the onset, indicate that there has been a discussion previously between ourselves and SALGA on the matter relating to our proposal for the permanent employment of managers accountable to senior managers. And we are well aware of the position that has been outlined by Lance in relation to what SALGA's position is. And we have previously indicated the following, and this also will then deal with the issues that have been raised by Honorable Direkwa. That firstly, COGTA, when we conceptualize proposals for the amendment of bills or of acts, we do thorough consultation, we do conceptualization of what we want to see happening, take into account the relevant experience in relation to our relationship and the working relationship that we have with municipalities in particular. Senior managers and other staff members in the department are employed on the basis of the experience in local government. I must indicate that the speaker has been a municipal manager in a number of municipalities and been seconded by the department in a number of municipalities. So it's not an issue of us maybe sitting in Pretoria and thumbsucking certain proposals that are to be made, but it is only on the basis of our thorough consultation. And I'll give specific examples in relation to what happened before we proposed this particular amendment. We have had several engagements with all relevant stakeholders, including SALGA and municipalities. We have been to Municipal Managers Forum, also organized by SALGA, wherein we solicited their views in relation to our proposal, especially in relation to this particular one. Our engagement with all organized formations in the sector, ISAMAO, ILGM, SIGFARO, all of them, they've been consulted. We went to an extent of having solicited all these other proposals, took the matter to technical MINMEC and also political MINMEC, where also MECs were represented. And we presented before them based on consultations that we made with all relevant stakeholders in the sector. And based on that, we also looked at past experiences when we are meeting on quarterly basis with provinces. And provinces have even given us their support in relation to this particular matter. You have heard, honorable members, when provinces came to present, in particular Western Cape, where they vigorously push forward this notion, this proposal that we are coming forward with. And it is based on this that we did not, as the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, only looked at what we thought would be good for the sector, but we extensively consulted. And what we are putting forth before honorable members is the views of all relevant stakeholders that we consulted with. I must indicate, lastly, that when we proposed this amendment in 2009, 2010, and it was made in 2011, we proposed the repeal of Section 57.7. And in that, the repeal of that section was dealing with the appointment of managers accountable to municipal managers to be appointed on a permanent basis. And the advice that we got from parliamentary legal services at the time, that the repeal of Section 57.7 will then result in all other staff members in municipalities treated the same. In a sense that even managers accountable to senior managers will be treated as any other employee of council, and they will then be appointed on a permanent basis. It is along those lines that Parliament at the time agreed to repeal Section 57.7 that deals specifically with dealing away with the the fixed-term contract of managers accountable to municipal managers. So I wanted to bring this into context that it was not the decision solely of the department to abdicate their responsibilities to see to it that there is clean governance, but we consulted extensively, and that also has its background at the time when we took this particular bill as it is at the moment to Parliament at the time, and Parliament agreed that the repeal of Section 57.7 will then bring upon stability in municipalities. So those are the general comments that I wanted to make and to indicate to honorable members that there was indeed thorough consultation. It was not only the view of the department alone, that provinces were consulted and all the other relevant stakeholders. Coming to specifics, I will indicate that I still stand by what I indicated. We still actually stand by what we indicated to the portfolio committee the last time when we met, that there will not be any adverse financial implications in relation to this particular move, because the minister responsible for local government will annually issue a notice that determines salaries for senior managers, and that includes managers accountable to municipal managers. And we will see to it that when the minister so determines salaries, that matter will be taken into account, that there should not be a further financial burden on municipalities, taking into account that the strain that we have in our national fiscals, that will be taken into account. And when the minister was before the portfolio committee last time, also made that particular undertaking. All other managers, after this has been made into law, who are on a contract basis, will not automatically be appointed on a permanent basis. And we have said it. We have said that we will put transitional measures in place to deal with the contractual capability of those that are already in the system. So it is not going to be a bonanza or laissez faire that upon this made into law, there will be any other contractual Section 56 managers who will then be automatically be made permanent. We have said it, and we will continue to make sure that we safeguard that by including the transitional clause in the law. The third issue is in relation, and that also talks to Honorable Lutuli's point. One is that we have also in the previous terms advocated the fact that in instances where there is substandard performance, and in instances where there are unfair labor practices, and instances where there are transgressions, the Department of Cooperative Governance through our minister developed regulations for disciplinary processes. That's all what we can do, and monitor the implementation of the disciplinary processes. The Minister of Finance also, in response to see to it that in instances of substandard and instances of unfair labor practice, also issued regulations in relation to transgression of matters of financial nature. And our duty is to see to it that we see to it that municipalities implement that. The prerogative of instituting disciplinary processes on the basis of transgression and substandard performance lies with municipalities and not with the department. The department, in terms of Section 154, will make sure that there are frameworks, processes that will enable municipalities to perform their duties. And part of it is for us to, for the department to develop such regulations. Going to further in relation to Honorable Lutuli, we are saying that the fact that managers accountable to municipal managers are employed on a permanent basis does not preclude the prerogative of municipalities to act in instances where there are transgressions or substandard performance. Secondly, when we issued regulations in relation to the processes that has to be followed when senior managers are employed, we indicated that there should only people who've got the requisite skills, expertise, and competency should be appointed. That is why they have been taken through the assessment, competency assessment. And in the competency assessment, you will realize that certain competencies are lacking in some senior managers. And the importance of this assessment is to see to it that once they're appointed, municipalities will then employ the capacity building initiatives to see to it that those identified inadequacies are attended to. So we have regulations in that regard. We've got also processes in terms of us having developed batteries to determine competencies of senior managers. And we are saying that only those who fall within the four corners of that particular description that we have in terms of suitability will then be employed. But there will be instances where the inadequacies and the capacity building is an ongoing process, and we will make sure that those senior managers are capacitated. But in addition to that, even if they're capacitated and they do not perform, obviously there is a legal process that is in place in dealing with substandard performance, and municipalities are encouraged to follow those particular processes. Honorable Director, I've already indicated that there has been consultation. It was not only at the level of COCTA. MECs were consulted, provinces were consulted, municipalities through formations like the MMs Forum were also consulted. And on the basis of that, we took that collective proposal and we put it into a proposal as law, and we then brought it before Cabinet and subsequently to Parliament. So it was not only us who then proposed certain things to be done in this particular fashion. Honorable Mkalipi, I do agree with the issue that you have raised, and I will not give too much comment on it, but safe to say that I do agree that the fact that we are proposing that senior managers must be employed on a permanent basis does not promote lack of performance or incapacity to perform. However, the laws that we are proposing, or the amendments that we are proposing, are also in line with the existing labor relations that are there. For instance, in instances where a person has been employed, be it on a permanent or on a six-term contract, the law requires that in instances where the person is incapable of performing certain functions, then there are processes that have to be followed. So local government is not distinct from the broader laws of the labor laws of the country. That is why even the understanding of us proposing certain labor-related matters is the cardinal principle that says whatever we propose should be in line with the existing labor laws of the country. And that process does not allow substandard performance or transgression. Honorable Hadebe, I think other colleagues will also get into explaining this, but I need to explain the following in relation to the structure and the strategy. And I'm happy that you raised this so that it should be clarified in a way that there is no contradiction in this particular instance. The structure of a municipality is a responsibility of municipal council after it has been brought up by the municipal manager. And once the structure has then been developed, then the municipality will then develop a strategy for the structure to be in a position to implement the strategy. In this particular instance, we are saying that it will be far much better implemented, that is the strategy, in instances where there is continuity in relation to people who are warm bodies in the structure for them to implement the strategy. We are mindful of the fact that it might not always be the ideal a situation in relation to everyone performing up to standard in bringing the input that they will make in implementing the strategy. But the shortfall of it is what we indicated in our presentation, that every after a period of 5 years, or many years, take into account what Salga has proposed, that the exodus and the outflow of senior managers make the implementation of a strategy to be very difficult, because there is no institutional memory for it to continue to deal with the strategy adopted by council over a period of 5 years. Remember that the IDP does not necessarily go over a period of, it's a long-term strategy that we have. And it is in line with that, that it is preferable that we have senior managers who have been in the employ for municipality to successfully implement the strategy based on the structure that has been adopted by municipalities. The issue in relation to the executive authority, this proposal does not take away any executive authority and function of council to employ. The only intervention that this law seeks to advance is to suit it that the executive authority becomes sure that when they employ individuals, these individuals, through the investment that they made over years, the strategy is being in a position to be implemented seamlessly over years. And in the event that whatever we did was a transgression or inroads into the executive authority of council to employ, then obviously, for an example, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor could have indicated to us that your proposals are not in line with the constitutional imperatives of the country. And as a result, this particular section that you are proposing will then temper into what should be an enshrined right of municipalities to exercise their executive authority. I think in this particular instance, I am not necessarily trying to 100% defend our proposal, but I'm saying that we have indicated in the past that this proposal that we are bringing is not the panacea of all the evils that we are having in local government. But through the experiences that we had over years, this will minimize the mistakes and the problems that we have in local government. And over years, from time to time, we'll come back to Parliament and say that what we are proposing over a period did not work. And as a result, we then propose certain amendments to the laws that we are bringing forth. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think the DG and the other colleagues will continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mutlashuping. DG?
Chairperson, let's see if there's any other comments from the department.
Yes, can I just add maybe just one, DG? Honorable Acting Chairperson, it's Temba Fosi.
Proceed, Mr. Fosi.
Just in addition, Chair, to the points that have been made by Mr. Mutlashuping, just to also give context, Chair, on the points that also Lance made. If you take just the last three local government elections, 2006, we had a turnover of 71%. 2011, we had a turnover of 78%. In 2016, we had a turnover of 77%. And these are new councillors. And the impact of this is that administratively, it impacts also in the appointment of, so there's a removal of the senior people in leadership position at the municipal level. So administratively, this is the point that Debucho was making, that for continuity purposes, it's important that you have institutional memory. And what it means, Chair, is that every 5 years, municipalities are starting afresh. And particularly from the context where, as national, we're beginning to encourage long-term planning. So as a country, we've developed a national development plan. And in all our policies and programs now, we're instilling a long-term sort of planning view at the municipal level. And in the context where you have this sort of instability or high turnover, both at the political level and administrative level, it becomes difficult to have a long-term horizon in how you plan. And the reality is that all the plans, there's more short-termism in how we plan. And some of your infrastructure and social programs that are meant to improve the conditions on the people on the ground requires sort of a long-term view in how we address them. So that's the only point, Chair, that I would want to emphasize. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fosi. DG, are we done with the department? There are a few hands that would like to make a follow-up from honorable members. So if you are done, I can then open another round for follow-up questions.
Okay, open another round of questions, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much, DG. Honorable members, I saw several members that are wanting to make a follow-up, starting with Honorable Direko, Ubaba Inkosi Uluthuli, and in fact, let's start with Honorable Opperman, since she did not have an input in the first round. So it will be Honorable Opperman, Honorable Direko, Baba Uluthuli. Are there any other members that would like to make a follow-up?
Okay,
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Kalipi, in that order. But I must indicate, Mr. Fosi and Mr. Mtlashuping, you did not respond adequately to my question, given the current setup that municipal managers and managers directly accountable to the municipal manager are elected, are employed or appointed by municipal councils in terms of their executive and legislative authority. Now, the question that I pose in terms of us adopting the position of having them as permanent, wouldn't that be in contravention or impeding on the executive authority of the new council whenever their term of office comes, where they will find executive directors on a permanent basis and they'll be forced to work with them since they will be permanent? You tried to touch on it, but I did not quite get succinctly whether or not that will pass the test of constitutional scrutiny in terms of this matter. But let me first take Honorable Opperman, followed by Honorable Direko, Honorable Thuli, and then Mkalipi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to switch off my camera quickly because of connectivity.
No problem. Proceed, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a question for the department. I want to know, I'm fairly fresh out of the municipality, so I still know all the relevant acts that we have. Isn't there already obligation in Section 57.6A, whereby a municipal manager must be employed on a fixed-term contract, therefore making it compulsory? And even if we delete Section 57.6C regarding the discretionary powers of a council, a MM cannot expect fixed-term contract to be renewed even by agreement. So the differentiation between employment contracts of MMs and senior managers are justified in terms of the departmental objectives of institutional stability. And I'm also satisfied because the Employment Equity Act currently does provide for a difference in terms of conditions of employment between employees of the same employer. So if we say our departmental objective is institutional stability and continuity and retention of institutional memory, then we are safeguarded by Section 57.6A, whereby a municipal manager must be employed and thereby making it compulsory for any council. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Direko.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in the public sector, public service, the DDG are permanent. And I've heard when Ndate was presenting, he said they have done a thoroughly consultation and their decision was well informed. Even when the decision was taken to make the DDGs in our department to be permanent, I think they also believe that it was a well-informed decision. But let's not go any further and look at COCTA. Can we really say that we have a good story to tell about that decision? Do we really have a good story about the long-term plan, accountability, improvement, and ability to do the work? Or the only thing that we can talk about in COCTA is just a job security on that resolution? Secondly, Chair, Ndate said they have consulted enough relevant stakeholders and so forth. Can we please get the documents of those consultations that took place so that we can be checked to check who were the stakeholders who were discussing this, which provinces were present on that day? At least we'll be able to discuss on an informed position where we'll be able to go through those documents and see exactly on which point of view did they agree on this decision. Thank you, Ndate.
Honorable members, I'd also like that as we engage, we also assist in shaping the way forward, given what the department and SALGA have presented. In your follow-up, I will request that you also assist whether or not do you still maintain your previous position or you support, so that when we summarize, it's based on a consensus or majority views. So far, the previous two speakers have not given us a sense whether or not, after the response from the department and SALGA, do you still maintain your previous position or you are persuaded otherwise? So that as a chair, when I summarize at least, I take into account what the feeling of the House is in this matter, so that we don't spend the entire evening on one aspect. So if I were to go back to you, Honorable Direko, in terms of the way forward, what are you proposing?
Chair, I still maintain my previous position. And all I am requesting is that let us be finished with all the document of consultation meetings and the concept behind this, so that we go through that document and then we have a clear indication as to what led to the decision. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So over and above the document that were presented before us of inputs from stakeholders, you still want a detailed document of public participation?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair.
The next speaker?
I'm there. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Honorable Kaba, you'll be the last one on the matter.
Okay, Chair.
Babulu Thuli, again about.
To me, it makes no difference. Even we can speak as much as we can, because I got an example for argument's sake, for the other job, like a driver of the municipality mayor. When the mayor comes in, when the new mayor comes in, that driver will never find him as a driver of the mayor. That's what we can't deny out of that. So even this one, if those people will be employed in terms of, let's say, permanent, rather than a contract, the executive council will make the very same example as I said, by saying that, all right, fine, you can be a manager, but we will come up with the other manager. We don't want you at all. So on that basis, who can control that? The department is going to say, no, take that person because he's employed for permanent basis. Although I'm not prepared to work with him or her. Really, to me, I don't understand clearly, really. Thank you very much.
So, Babulu Thuli, are you still maintaining your position in essence? So if I were to summarize your input, is that you're still maintaining your position? You still think leaving the situation as it is, it's better? So that I can understand if I've captured you correctly, Bab. So masikhube nje ngendlela okuyiyo okwamanje. Unmute your mic. Please unmute
my status.
Okay, no, thank you.
My position, I will stand on my position. I will never change.
All right. I've seen the other two hands. Honorable Kaza, I see your hand and that of Honorable Brink. The next hand was Honorable Mkhalipi.
Chairperson, the state capacity building, that is we are advocating for as EFF. So therefore, the proposal by the department, I think it's progressive. However, the reason of my clarity before was to get from the experience of the department, because we know very well that we are dealing with the capacity of government with a lot of challenges. Okay, Chair, there is a noise. All right. So I was saying, Chairperson, you are very clear in terms of this proposal of the department. But we wanted to open up and ask the department to be fair and to give us a balance, a fair of experience with consultations that they have made. Because we are dealing with a local sphere of government with a lot of challenges. And I hear them. I don't want to lie. I hear them. I hear the Teboho Mhlashupeng. He's very clear on this presentation. I hear CEO Lance because he even mentioned that we are moving towards the professionalization of the local department, which is municipalities, which I agree 100%. I hear what also Temba Fosi is also emphasizing. But we can't just, as portfolio committee members, we can't just say, no, what you are presenting here is true and it's going to be like what you are saying. That's why I want to open up to say that, talk to us, tell us, if you foresee this kind of challenges, that it might happen, especially the example that was very dominating, even from the legal service offices, citing one example of undermining the MM. Tell us, how are you going to counteract those kind of things? Tell us, talk about the policy that you are going to develop to make sure that once this thing is an act, so therefore, if those challenges arises, how is the policy going to address those challenges? Not saying that we are not hearing what you are saying. We were very clear. We agree with you in terms of the employment in South Africa. Everyone would like to see people getting permanent employment. But the fact of the matter is that you are dealing with the local sphere of government with a lot of challenges, whereby the service delivery does not arrive to people that are supposed to get those service deliveries because of the people who are inside the municipalities. So now, Tereko, Honorable Tereko is saying that he still needs those documents to be finished to the committee. And the department said, no, we have done the sufficient consultation and you are very, very sure about what we are presenting here. But just take us to confidence. We are not fighting with you, but we just want to be robust as possible. And then we can go forward. But let me just be very clear, is the position of the EFF to say that we are not saying people must not get permanent job. As I alluded to the fact that also in South Africa in general, Section 198B, which is an amendment because it also has some problems when it comes to fixed terms contracts in South Africa. And then I was saying that the LRA, although tried to address this issue of fixed term contracts in South Africa, but when you just go and study some of the court cases, it also gives you a clear indication that even the judges in labor courts, they have headache on how to protect workers on fixed-term contracts. So therefore, if the department wants also to address that aspect, that the Labor Relations Act is trying to address as well, we'll welcome that one. But when it comes to the sphere of government that we are dealing with, so that's why we want the department also to come clear with us in terms of the policy now, that how are we going to address issues that we are also having concerns as members. I think, Chairperson, I'm very clear in terms of a way forward because we said we must also try to shape the discussion as a way forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhalipi. Uma Mukaba had her head up as well, and then it will be Honorable Kaza and Honorable Brink. Mama, Honorable Kabanchaba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if you may allow me to speak without with camera, because where I am, I'm in the load shedding. It's black.
Please proceed, Mama. Inking ayiko
khulela. Okay. Honorable Chairperson, all I can say, I support the manager to accountable to MM, and I don't support the permanent. I agree with Honorable Rego also that we must get all the documents and see what is happening and before we say no.
can change to be permanent, but I don't know. Because I know what the Honourable will say. Remember, the government stay only 5 years. If maybe we change the leadership of that government or the employees of that government, what will happen? Because as we speak, we still have a problem within these municipalities. If people, all of them, they are permanent, who gonna deliver? Because they are not even delivering as we speak. They are in the a contract of 5 years. They are not want to deliver. So I support the 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kaba. Honorable Keza, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair. And indeed, I must admit that this is a very, very complex, it needs you to dig in, given the fact that we have not been anywhere in municipal spaces. We have no background of that, and we'll take it cautiously. But it looks palatable, Chair, when you are talking, when Lance is talking about a particular municipality in the Eastern Cape that has a municipal manager that has been getting a clean audit in succession. It looks very, very palatable. And then I ask myself then a question. If one particular manager does this currently over a period of 20 years, what has stopped the other municipalities to do the same? If it's it's happening currently as we speak, and what possibly could be a way in which this that the department is proposing is going to change the ethics and the behavior, as we have seen in the case of J.S. Moroka and other municipalities like O.R. Tambo, who came here with low, very low work rate. How does the department seek to transform that, given that particular environment where municipalities are repeat offenders, poor track record, and so forth? How would they be able to be turned around? And number two, in terms of skills development in those municipalities, currently you have people that in those municipalities do not have requisite skills. So how is it that this current proposal is going to ensure that the current pool of people that have been employed without skills in many municipalities due to many other influential positions, influential people rather, that have put them there. To a certain extent, when I remember when I was in Johannesburg, when a DA came into power there, somebody collapsed literally because she knew that she was not going to sustain herself in that municipality. There was going to be an erosion in terms of the people that do not qualify. But how is it that it's going to pan out? Can we get clarity? And I wanted to raise that issue of public participation, but Honorable Direko covered me very, very well in there. I wanted to also ask, is the information that they are bringing to us in the public domain, is it accessible to communities? Because I'm worried about the culture on the ground here, that whenever we call meetings or municipalities call meetings, they will call people, only people, and bus people that will only say yes to whatever. I'm from a community here in Stiftshoed, I know these behaviors. I'm sure all honorable members know that you would call a meeting and you would get a few people who will just not answer questions and just clap hands for you to move forward, and you would have achieved that. But professionalization of that space is also palatable, because I think that EFF speaks to that, and also it speaks to the insourcing of people, as Honorable Mkhalipi has put it, that we want people to be really employed permanently, but we must look into in depth in terms of the unintended consequences. What would be the new tensions? What political tensions? Because you must remember that, as honorable members have alluded, I think it's you, Chair, that every 5 years, I think it was TDG, every 5 years municipalities must start afresh, kind of thing. So what would be the situation there? What risks, lastly, Chair, what risks are associated with employing people on contract? What are the conditions of employment in terms of people that are employed permanently? And what would be the conditions of employment for people that are employed permanently? I'm sorry, the municipal managers that account, not people, account to the municipal manager, that are directly accountable to the municipal manager. So what would be the, would the conditions of employment apply in the same way in which the contract workers are? And if not, what would be the situation in terms of the conditions of employment for municipal managers that are accountable to the municipal manager? I think that exhausts my questions, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Kaiser. The last speaker will be Honorable Brink, and then we'll close with the department and provide a way forward in relation to this matter. Honorable Brink.
Thanks, Chair. I think the principal benefit of the proposal before us to make senior managers, those managers accountable to the municipal manager, permanent employees, is that it will make the municipal service an attractive career prospect for professionals. It will promote a professional instead of a political ethic among professional engineers, planners, accountants, attorneys, the folks that we need to stay out of the cycle of electoral politics and focus on the job of building municipalities that can deliver services. Now, if we had a practice in this country where people freely move, from positions in the private sector to the public sector and back, then fixed-term contracts would be no problem at all, because you'd have a wide pool of expertise available to you, and you could simply change as the politicians or the political leadership changes. But that's not the case. In South Africa, people in the private sector in that level do not apply for jobs in municipalities, not only because many of them see these jobs as toxic, as political, as a poison chalice for their career, but also because there are high barriers to entry to serve in senior positions in municipalities. So there are certain sector-specific qualifications that you have to have in terms of the System Act regs on the appointment of senior managers before you can land a job. You can't just come from Clover or Absa Bank or BMW and become a director of legal services, for instance, at the city of Tshwane. So the challenge for us is to build a sector-specific, a local government-specific pool of expertise. And that requires professionals who start out from middle management and work their way up. So we must give civil servants, also those in municipalities, a clear career path, because we know in this country they're not going to jump. Once they jump out of public sector to private sector, they're unlikely to come back. They are a loss to the South African people and the cause of building a capable state. So the question was asked, so what is the disadvantage of having fixed term contracts? And I think it was quite convincingly answered by the DDG and the chief director that presented before us. There is a high turnover of municipal councillors every 5 years in most of the municipalities, up to 70%. That is institutional memory lost. It is essential that the professionals, the people who advise and assist the politicians to deliver services to our people, have a memory of what went on, where the institution comes from, how local government works. The loss of people every 5 years is the very definition. A fixed-term business is the very definition of instability in local government. My own experience is from the city of Tshwane, and colleagues might know my history there. When I became MMC for corporate services in the city of Tshwane, we had more than 100 people appointed on fixed-term contracts that all ran out at about the same time. The level of instability, anxiety, and sheer chaos that situation creates is not good for any organization, especially not for any political party that wants to implement its manifesto in government. So, of course, yes, there's the problem of deployed cadres of a certain political party, but the truth is, no matter what your political persuasion, any political party needs the benefit of a professional, permanent civil service if it wants to get anything right in government. So, Chairperson, I think I speak on behalf of the DA members on this committee when I say we would be in favor of making these senior managers permanent appointees. Thanks very much.
Thank you, honorable members and honorable Brink. I think, colleagues, we all agree that we want to see stability in local government. I think we also agree unanimously that we are moving towards professionalizing local government. So I think those two aspects is what we all agree upon. Notwithstanding the response from the department and what they've alluded to, in their presentation, it appears that we are not singing from the same hymn book, all of us as honorable members. There are divergent views in this regard. And based on those members that have spoken and raised follow-up questions, there's still a dominant view which is not quite in support of what the department is proposing in relation to Section 56. We also noted what SALGA has proposed. Yes, they would appreciate a situation whereby we have stability and permanent Section 56 of managers directly accountable to the municipal manager, but they think we're not there yet. It will be ideal at this current juncture to maintain the status quo until such time that we are ready to move towards the position that is currently proposed. We have not had a situation previously in this committee that we decide on the matter based on voting. And I wouldn't want us to go into that extent. There has been also a request of us getting an evidence in relation to public engagement and stakeholder consultation where this view was advanced, debated, and ultimately agreed upon as a direction towards professionalizing local government, that it will assist a great deal. I'm not too sure from the department side how long can we be in a position to respond or get the information as requested and supported by Umamo Kaba, requested by Honorable Direko. Can I get an indication from the department before we conclude and rule on the way forward on this matter? Mr. Fosi, can you assist?
It will be Tabel for Chair. Sorry, Chairperson, it will be Teboko who must respond.
Proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We will, by Tuesday, be in a position to can give the documents to the Parliament because they're already there.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Mutlashuping, I was about to say that it will be ideal if we can get there as soon as possible because we're talking about engagement that have already taken place, meaning such information is readily available. We are living in the technologically advanced world, so it shouldn't be a problem getting access to such documentation. Can we then, honorable members, given the diverse views around this matter and members requesting to satisfy themselves whether or not a wider consultation has been undertaken in this regard, can we postpone this item and we will then apply our mind based on the information at our disposal in relation to the consultation that was undertaken by the department? But as I've earlier on indicated, taking into account also the views from SALGA and honorable members, the dominant view at this stage speaks contrary to what the department is proposing. And I wouldn't want to summarize based on the numbers, but we want to take all views into account before we arrive at the decision. So my proposal is that let us defer the matter for wider consultation and satisfy ourselves that indeed what has been brought forward, not saying we are we don't trust what the department is saying, but there has been a request and it's only fair that we accede to such a request. Honorable members, is it in order if we defer the item, meaning we won't be also in a position to go to clause by clause tonight? Also take into account that it's already 25 past 9, we are past the time that this meeting was supposed to be concluded, which was 9 o'clock.
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that we've had a very, very long day. So I don't think there's much use in continuing this discussion. I think we're not going to be at our sharpest, quite frankly. So I think we must defer this until we get the information requested.
Agreed.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Members. Yes,
Chair, I support the proposal as well. I just want to make one additional request, please, if you don't mind, that when the department comes back to us on the same matter, on the request that you've put to them now, may I just ask that they also come back to us with some sort of historical experience on how the current provisions are affecting municipalities in a negative way. I mean, I know that they've provided some examples in the presentation, but I think some of the real case examples will help. You recall when we were discussing the other clause, Chair, about the senior officials who hold political positions, there were some very good real case examples where you have the mayor in a municipality who's junior to the MM politically and so on, and how that affects the running of the municipality. I think those real case examples were very helpful. So if they could maybe just come back with a similar experience, similar examples in the current situation, I think that would be helpful, please.
Thank you. And also including the constitutionality in relation to 151, the legislative and executive authority of municipal council, when Section 56 managers will be permanent, if we can also get an opinion around that matter. So, colleagues, we have a proposal and it has been seconded. If there are no dissenting views, we are then going to adjourn the meeting with the understanding that the department will come back to us with the requested information, including what Honorable Hussein has already alluded to, and the opinion in terms of constitutionality in relation to this matter. If there are no any other matters.
Yeah, Chair.
Okay. Is it Kalipi and Keza? I'll start with Kalipi.
Okay.
No, Chair, I would propose that we be really cautious and be really detailed and be given, as you are saying, enough information, because we are also new to the committee and in the space, and legal issues are very, very sensitive, and we cannot then rush the matters of parliament by going the route of, as you are saying, voting before there's an understanding, you know, in terms of the legal implications and the unintended consequences, as you have put it before, with regards to this matter. So I would urge you that we really be patient with this one. Thank you.
Yeah, it should have been Honorable Mkhalipi, my apologies.
And me too, Chen.
Yes, Chen.
Honorable Mutambi, please proceed, Honorable Mkhalipi.
No, I agree with all the speakers on the proposed way forward, to say that when the department comes back, they must also be broadened in terms of a policy perspective, if I may put that way, Chairperson. You brought the issue of the constitutionality, but to me, if there's an act it's up to the department to say that in terms of the police, how to address this matter. So if they can be broadened up, they must not just be information. Because we are saying here, we are dealing with a very complex matter, of which all of us, we must be very clear to go forward as we are moving to the professionalization of the local government. So with this experience, with these challenges currently, how policy-wise is going to be addressed when those things arise, Chair? So I'm appealing to say that the document must be expanded in that category. In your name, billing a lot of Chairperson. I don't know if Lance will understand what I'm saying, but I'm sure
understand.
Yeah. Thank you,
Chair. Thank you. Yes, I was saying it would have been nice and ideal if we had views of our parliament and state law advisors, but I did not see them raising hands in terms of this matter. Hopefully next time when we engage, they will also have a bite on this matter. Honorable Mutambi, your hand was up before we conclude.
Chairperson, as I said, I joined this meeting at 7:30, but I couldn't speak because I was still driving from the funeral venue. I've listened to the conversation. I agree with what the speakers have said, but the point that I wanted to emphasize, this issue, as far as my memory serves me well, this only came upon consultation with Limpopo that they must be made permanent. But my issue, say, which as when the department they come back, I need to be convinced that the failures of the municipalities are only based on that the managers accountable to the MMs are not permanent, in line with what Sardar has presented. The other issue, the reality, maybe I missed it prior to joining the meeting, but the colleagues from the department will agree with me. If you check the high turnover of DGs in national government, that's the point that I want also them to do an analysis at the prevent. National DGs, there's a high turnover because we must say it upfrontly. There's an attitude, and you say those of us who work in municipalities, there was this level of managers that were before managers accountable to municipal manager and the MM. They are permanent. And that's where the problem is, that is that was saying lies. Because they will always say, this one come and go. It's an attitude also in national government that DGs comes and go. So we want to be, as and when they come to present to us, what makes them to think that making managers accountable to municipal manager permanent will create stability? Because I'm not yet convinced, based on the submission, that they will create stability. That's the only reason that you get out of the presentation. Then they must give us evidence and facts to that effect to say, if we are to make this managers permanent, these are the, and evidence, we need such kind. But I think I've heard the colleague who has said that, saying that. So we want evidence, empirical evidence to support that. With regard to the issue of the state or law advisor, remember in our last engagement, this is the matter that I said, we'll also want a legal opinion. They too, we asked them to seek a legal opinion the last time we met on them to say, now, if you are changing the act, whereas the act was saying, this set of managers, they are on contracts. Now you only choose one manager, you leave the others. Will it stand the constitutionality when this act, because that's the matter that was never addressed. We just brought it in at a later stage of the bill to say also managers accountable to MM must be permanent, and you leaving only the MM to be in contract, because we also want to understand the view. Like last time I asked Sirin to get the view of the state law advisor, but what he sent me, I even said, what you have sent to me attached to the document is not what the parliament legal advisor says. So that opinion will also assist us to also check the legality and the constitutionality of this. Now you are leaving only one person, whereas the previous act says all these type of managers are controlled. So those are the issues that one says we need to be adequate, and we need evidence and facts that this will stabilize municipality. Because to say that, just a line to say this will create stability to municipalities, I personally tend to disagree also on that one, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You've said it mouthfully. And I think also what I have discomfort with is this issue of institutional memory, as if you are working alone, you don't have subordinates that you report to. And also living in a technologically advanced world where the information can be stored and be available at our disposal, it does not mean when Honorable Mutambi is not present, everything will collapse, because he's got this institutional memory. It's her or nothing, as if she is the only one that can make things happen. She's the only one that can make things tick. It's evident tonight when she was not there, the meeting proceeded. So that view of institutional memory, as if you don't have subordinates, there's no delegation of authority. And when you are on sick leave for 2 months, the project in municipalities will come to a standstill. It's not as if these executive directors, they are there 24/7, 365 days a year. They take leave and aluta continua, because there's a structure within municipalities. They are working with a team of experts. So we will request when the department also come back to like the chair said, the scientific evidence, empirical evidence, whether or not the challenges that we are having will be resolved by having these managers permanent. Colleagues, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for trusting me with steering the ship in the absence of the chairperson. I really appreciate your faith in me. In the name of our chair, Mem Mutambi, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you so much.
As long as we are not, it is not a coup. The way you are meeting.
Thank you very much. But chair, you must be very careful. That person you want to capsize.
So you want to have to vote now. Why you want us to vote? Highway, not fake.
Hey,
process.
Exactly my point, Kalipi. I agree with you. We avoided voting at all costs. Hence, we defend the med.
Chairperson. Yes. Remind the members that tomorrow we are dealing with Mukalipi's petition, right?
Yes. Yes.
Tomorrow we are meeting.
Is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock. Yes. Honorable Mukalipi, we're dealing with your ward issues. You are bringing to us issues of the ward here.
What only?
Good night. Good night.